The War Room. Rhys Howells received a vision from the Holy Spirit in the middle of the night on December 26th, 1934. It was 3 a.m., and the Lord began to call him into faith for world evangelization and the completion of the Great Commission. Rhys was an intercessor with powerful testimonies of answered prayer, so he took this very seriously. He knew it would naturally require him to take direct responsibility to see it come to pass. His burden of prayer shifted from local concerns to that of national and international focus. Rhys became a man with a world vision, the every creature vision, as Jesus gave his disciples in Mark 16, verse 15. Rhys Howells knew that prepared messengers and the Word needed to be thrust out with fresh intensity, but he and his students soon learned just how ferocious the invisible realm of opposition could be. Almost as soon as the vision came for the gospel to go to every creature, there was a conspicuous rise of evil dictators, Hitler, Stalin, and Mussolini, who posed real threats to the nations of the earth. Rhys Howells came to understand that these wicked leaders and governmental systems were Satan's strategy to halt the gospel's advancement. In a short period of time, the whole world, was swept into war. Hitler was crushing nation after nation under his seemingly unstoppable war machine. Scores of people were dying, and the fate of the world was hanging in the balance. When Hitler's focus turned on Britain in 1940, very little stood in his way. Never losing sight of the every creature vision, Rhys and the young people at the Bible College of Wales were called to contend for spiritual victory so that real battles on the ground could be won. Under the black clouds of world war, Rhys declared, "Now is the best time to test the Bible in wars because we are in one ourselves." As news of Hitler's advance came over the radio and the newspapers each day, Rhys and his company of intercessors would press into prayer for God's purposes to prevail. Royal Air Force pilots were outnumbered 4-1 at the beginning of the Battle of Britain. On all accounts, it should have been a losing battle. However, when the Nazi advance was mysteriously turned away right when all hope seemed lost, Winston Churchill famously said of the small group of pilots who had maintained air supremacy, "Never has so much been owed by so many to so few." Those words ought to inspire us today. Those who are contending in prayer for spiritual air supremacy, standing in the victory of the cross of Christ like Rhys Howells and his company. How thankful we are that God had this company of hidden intercessors, busy behind the scenes, whose lives were on the altar day by day as they stood in the gap for the deliverance of Britain. Daniel lived more than 500 years before Christ, and he had survived many wars. Let's look in on him in Daniel chapter 10, and we'll start at verse 1. Daniel 10, verse 1, and we'll read through verse 1 of chapter 11. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel, who was called Belteshazzar. Its message was true, and it concerned a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris, I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen, with a belt of the finest gold around his waist. His body was like chrysolite, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. The men with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. So I was left alone, gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left, my face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. Then I heard him speaking, and as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I am about to speak to you, and stand up, for I have now been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. Then he continued, Do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come. While he was saying this to me, I bowed with my face toward the ground and was speechless. Then one who looked like a man touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and began to speak. I said to the one standing before me, I am overcome with anguish because of the vision, my lord, and I am helpless. How can I, your servant, talk with you, my lord? My strength is gone and I can hardly breathe. Again, the one who looked like a man touched me and gave me strength. Do not be afraid, O man highly esteemed, he said. Peace. Be strong now. Be strong. When he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, Speak, my lord, since you have given me strength. So he said, Do you know why I have come to you? Soon I will return to fight against the prince of Persia, and when I go, the prince of Greece will come. But first I will tell you what is written in the book of truth. No one supports me against them except Michael, your prince. And in the first year of Darius the Mede, I took my stand to support and protect him. Lord, we ask that you would enable us to glean from this passage what you want us to see and hear. And as a result, you would touch our hearts and change our hearts. Give us the hearts of intercessors, of people that are willing to do battle on our knees before you, humbling ourselves and praying. Lord, we know that there is a lot more going on around us than we see with our physical eyes. And so we ask that you would lift the veil, lift the curtain, and open our eyes so that we could see what you want us to see. Touch us and call us, we pray. Challenge us, Lord. Inspire us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There is indeed unseen battles going on around us, and these unseen battles are won or lost by prayer warriors. Prayer warriors. Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines a war room as a room at a military headquarters where maps showing the current status of troops in battle are maintained, or a room at a business headquarters used for conferences and planning that is often especially equipped, as with computers or charts. Perhaps you saw the movie The War Room that came out a few years ago, and some of these visions would come back to you in your mind. Here in Daniel chapter 10, we get a glimpse behind the stage of global events. We get to peek into the war room, you might say. We see that what happens in the spiritual realm dramatically affects the physical realm. We read in Daniel 6:28 that Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian, showing that Darius and Cyrus ruled at the same time. And this reference has caused Bible scholars to debate and discuss why the different names. Well, one school of thought is that Darius was appointed viceroy or representative over Babylon by his nephew, King Cyrus. So they actually ruled at the same time, and Darius specifically over this region. Cyrus of Persia was one of the greatest conquerors in history. He inherited the throne of Persia from his father and expanded his empire, including capturing Babylon in 539 BC. The third year of Cyrus's rule in 536 was when the first wave of Jews returned from captivity and started to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. This is recorded in the first chapter of Ezra. Daniel went into 21 days of mourning, depriving himself not of all foods, but of pastry, meat, and wine. So it wasn't a complete or a total fast. It was a partial fast. We read in Daniel 1 verse 5 that he devoted himself to a strict diet for a time when he was a youth. So here in chapter 10, it would indicate that he did not make a lifelong commitment to this. Jewish literature outside the Bible often saw fasting as essential preparation for receiving a vision. Daniel was depriving himself of lotions and certain foods in mourning because he wanted to understand the vision. He might have also been fasting and praying for the Jews who had returned to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple while their enemies opposed them. It was a difficult situation for those people that went back to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls and the temple. There were people all around them that wanted them to fail and did what they could to resist the effort. Daniel was fasting during the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which makes the sacrifice even more. He was very serious about his time of fasting and praying. And these feasts ended on the 21st day of the month. I started a new diet this week. I now abstain from eating any food while putting my mittens on in the winter. I call it intermittent fasting. The text does not tell us who Daniel met here on the 24th day of the month, but he is one of the archangels, perhaps Gabriel, or the Son of God himself, the second person of the Trinity. Christophany is what theologians would call this, an appearance of Christ before Bethlehem. Daniel looked up, and there was a man dressed in linen with a belt of the finest gold around his waist. His body was like chrysolite, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. Does this sound familiar to you? Well, the Apostle John provides a similar description of Jesus in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. I think Daniel saw Jesus. I also think that it was Gabriel who touched him and explained the vision. And I'll tell you why in just a couple minutes. While those with Daniel did not see the vision, I wonder what the others that were with Daniel on the riverbanks of the Tigris River saw, because they flipped out and they hightailed it right out of there. They were terrified. They obviously saw and or heard something, and they weren't sure what this was all about, and they were very, very afraid. But while they ran away in terror, Daniel stood alone with the Lord. The Bible gives many examples of individual encounters with God. Facing and following the Lord is a personal decision, but it's not a private decision. It's a decision that each one of us have to make one way or the other, but sooner or later, if we decide to follow him, the people around us should know about it. It's not something that we should keep private. We must be willing to step out of the crowd to affect those around us. And we see several examples of Daniel's willingness to do this. He never succumbed to peer pressure. And in this case, he didn't succumb to peer fear. He stood before the Lord alone. While Daniel was overwhelmed by this experience, he received the strength to stand and accept what the Lord wanted to share with him. Even though Daniel had risen to prominence through several kings of kingdoms, this would pale in comparison to knowing that the God of the universe esteemed him highly. I don't think Daniel carried a business card, but I'm pretty sure if he were to carry a business card, it wouldn't be his credentials here on earth. I suspect that more than anything, he valued what God thought of him. What an amazing thing to hear from heaven, you who are highly esteemed. I can't think of a higher honor. Wow, that would blow me away if I were in Daniel's sandals. His faithful, consistent life demonstrated how much more he valued what the Lord thought of him than what human beings thought of him. He was motivated not by what those around him thought or even thought about him. He was motivated by what the Lord thought of him. Having settled it in his mind and in his heart, he positioned himself to be effective as a prayer warrior. Maybe you've read some of Andrew Murray's writings. Andrew Murray was a South African pastor and a writer, and he died in 1917. He urged, "We must begin to believe that God, in the mystery of prayer, has entrusted us with a force that can move the heavenly world and can bring its power down to earth." Did you catch that? We must begin to believe that God, in the mystery of prayer, has entrusted us with a force that can move the heavenly world and can bring its power down to earth. Prayer is powerful, and prayer is a high calling. Unseen battles are won or lost by prayer warriors and angelic warriors. Angelic warriors. The one who touched Daniel and helped him get off the ground explained that God heard his words from the first day he humbled himself and set his mind to understand the vision. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted him for 21 days. Interesting. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help him because he was detained there with the prince of Persia. He came to Daniel to explain what will happen to his people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come. This leads me to believe that the one speaking here was not the pre-incarnate Christ, the Son of God, because he would not need the help of the archangel Michael. This is why I believe it was another archangel speaking to Daniel here. Michael is mentioned 3 times in the Hebrew Bible, or the Old Testament, all in the book of Daniel, and 2x in the New Testament, in Jude 9 and Revelation 12, verse 7. Michael is mentioned much more in other Jewish literature outside the scriptures, primarily the book of Enoch. And he is considered the guardian of the people of Israel. This warrior or messenger was probably Gabriel, who battled the prince of Persia for 21 days and overcame him with Michael's support. This prince who resisted was not Cyrus, the king of Persia, but an evil angel who opposed Gabriel while carrying this message for Daniel. This satanic figure oversaw the affairs of Persia while influencing its social, financial, political, and religious structures toward evil. Think about that. A spiritual battle in the heavenly realms and fallen angels, forces of darkness, hovering over countries and steering them in evil directions. Can you wrap your head around that? That is incredible. And this is what was going on here behind the scenes. While Daniel was fasting and praying, angels and demons were fighting. Fascinating. The curtain is lifted here, just for a brief glimpse. The Apostle Paul explains in Ephesians 6, verse 12. Ephesians 6, verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. This passage in Daniel chapter 10 helps us to understand and see more what's going on when we pray. And there is indeed this spiritual battle raging around us. The Bible does not teach us to pray to angels, but angels certainly go to war on behalf of God's people. We pray, He sends them, He directs them. When we pray to the Lord, He sends or commissions His angels to help us fight evil forces in the heavenly realms. Wow. Incredible. When I read Daniel chapter 10, I wonder about the spiritual atmosphere over the various countries of the earth. Today, I wonder what is going on over the various countries of the earth. What is it like? How much do the prayers of God's people in the war room impact this atmosphere? Israel was at the center of world events at the height of its power, but was sidelined after generations of sin and rebellion. In the days of David and Solomon, when they were kings of Israel, they were right in the middle, in the thick of things, in world events and happenings. But they went into captivity and they were sidelined after rebelling, after sinning for generations. I see a parallel for the church in Europe and North America, in the West. Faithful prayer warriors sought the Lord when nations were founded and adjusted years ago. God sent angelic warriors to clear out demonic resistance in the heavenly realms. And followers of Jesus were called to prominent roles in strategic historical times and fulfilled their assignments because faithful prayer warriors cleared the way before them. Sadly, the people of God have lost their passion for personal and corporate prayer and lost ground in the Western world. When you see significant moves of God throughout history and today, you will trace it back to significant movements of prayer that preceded significant moves of God. Inevitably, there is a connection there. The spiritual sky now has clouded over in this part of the world, and the moral ground crumbles beneath our feet. Fortunately, the church in other parts of the world is taking spiritual territory as she seeks the kingdom of God more than the kingdom of humanity. Worldwide, in the big picture, the church is growing and thriving. Even though we don't see it in this part of the world, the church is growing, despite the resistance of the enemy. Some of these faithful prayer warriors are moving to Western countries and trying to reignite the church's fire here. I think this is part of what God is doing through immigrants to Canada. He is bringing spiritual fireballs to our nation to light a fire under us. We are not just helping them, they are helping us. And it's mutually beneficial. We do not need to settle for being marginalized here. Scottish theologian Thomas Torrance concluded, the real cause of the world disturbance is the prayer of the church. The real cause of the world disturbance is the prayer of the church. We have much more impact on world events and on history than we might ever realize this side of eternity. Perhaps only eternity will reveal the impact of prayer. Daniel was supernaturally strengthened 3 times in chapter 10 by the one who touched him. The first touch enabled him to arise from the ground, the second to speak, and the third to carry on a conversation. While the forces of darkness are determined to resist us, heaven's angelic warriors support us as we engage in the spiritual battle. Are we willing to fight? To be enlisted, to be recruited? If we are, angelic warriors are willing to help us in this battle. We can ignore, avoid, or run from this battle to pursue the pleasures of this world, or we can make ourselves available to the commander-in-chief to use us in whatever ways he wishes. While many people yearn for retirement to put their feet up, Daniel was active in the war room even through his senior years. Here's a question to ponder. When a drummer comes out of retirement, are there repercussions? Verse 21 refers to the Book of Truth, and scholars have compared it to the Babylonian Tablet of Destinies. Remember that the book of Daniel was written in the context of the Babylonian Empire and the Medo-Persian Empire. And the Babylonians thought it described and dictated the course of history and the cosmos. While the Persian Empire dominated at that time in Daniel's life, the Greeks would soon arise and overtake them. And this was described in previous visions in the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 10 sets the stage for chapters 11 and 12 and their description of future events. While we stumble around among the proverbial trees, the God of heaven and earth looks down on the whole forest. He can see the big picture. He knows how history will unfold and how this will all end. Knowing that God has a plan for our world, how will we respond? Knowing that the forces of darkness want to resist this plan at every turn, how will we respond? We have the choice to get involved. None of us get out of here alive, so why not go out fighting for the winning side? The war room is calling. Will you and I answer? Unseen battles are won or lost by prayer warriors and angelic warriors. We have the opportunity to impact world events through prayer.